Amen. Good morning. Thank Jeremy and the worship team for leading us this morning and really doing a fantastic job of preparing our hearts through the Word. Love that our worship is saturated with the Word. So important. I'll ask the question that you're probably expecting. What are you most thankful for? Right? This is a question you probably expected to hear. Perhaps, though, we could go one step further. Why? Why are you thankful for it? And since we're progressing in questions, I'll ask a harder question. What are you thankful, or what are you not thankful for? A few snickers. That's a harder question, isn't it? What are you not thankful for? And maybe we should ask the question that we asked previously, why? Why are you not thankful for it? You know, as you might expect, our theme this morning from God's Word is thankfulness, gratitude. And I'll share with you, this has been an incredible study for me personally, and as usual, whenever I look into God's Word and really study one aspect of it, I end up feeling like I've only scratched the surface. And I can tell you that that if you study the idea, the concept of thankfulness or thanksgiving in God's Word, you will be blessed, but you will be doing it for a while. It is everywhere. I found myself wrestling with questions like, what is the connection between gratitude and our walk with the Lord? What role does thankfulness play in my spiritual growth? What's the connection between gratitude and grace? Is it possible for thanksgiving to be something that is a side issue for the Christian, or is it a central issue? Is it possible to be sinfully thankful? When should gratitude be most visible in a believer's life? And how can being thankful keep me from sin? How does gratitude repair broken relationships? Help me avoid pornography? Make me a godlier parent, or strengthen my personal Bible study. One verse particularly caught my attention, actually through a study that we're doing in our life group, and it's in Colossians chapter 2. I'd ask that you turn there with me this morning, or take note of it in the YouVersion app, or wherever you find your copy of God's Word. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7 will be kind of a central theme for a very topical message on Thanksgiving this morning, but read with me Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. After my study this week, I'm convinced that God's Word clearly teaches what will be our take-home thought for the morning, and that is this, that you cannot live in obedience to God without abounding in thanksgiving. I'll say that again. You cannot live in obedience to God without abounding in thanksgiving. So am I saying that if there's even the smallest part of my life in which I'm not grateful to God, that's sin? Yes. I believe God's Word teaches that truth, that every aspect of my life I should be thankful to God for. Just like you can't have Thanksgiving dinner without football. I knew I would get amens on that one. Even the first service, amen, all over the place. Just like you can't have Thanksgiving without football, you cannot walk in Him, as Colossians 6 says, without abounding in thanksgiving, as Colossians 2:6, verse 7 says. As rootedness and foundation depends on the faith called forth by the gospel, so growing from the root and building up from the foundation can be successful only in an atmosphere of thankfulness to God. Colossians 3, look at Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It should be everywhere. And we see that the opposite is true too. Just as a believer must abound in thanksgiving, we see that God's word describes unbelievers as those who are not thankful. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it describes folks who have rejected God. Let me just read you that passage. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, says this: For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Folks, to be thankful to God is a number one characteristic of a believer. And the first indicator, one of the first indicators of departure from God, is a lack of thanksgiving. And so I want to ask two questions this morning. What is biblical gratitude? Biblical thankfulness, what is that? And how do we abound in it? What does it mean to abound in thanksgiving? A simple definition of thanksgiving can be found as the expression of gratitude, especially to God. I thought that was interesting that that phrase was in there, even a secular dictionary. Another more simple way, I think, of defining thanksgiving or biblical thanksgiving would be finding the goodness of God in every moment of life. When we think on how good God is to us, we become thankful. There's no way around it. Believers cannot meditate on how great God is without their heart turning to praise and thanksgiving. So to be biblically thankful means that the object of our gratitude is God and his many graces to us personally. It's a visible response, right? It's the natural expression of thanks in response to blessings, protection, or love. To be biblically thankful is to be thankful to God, right? Expressing thanks for something does not immediately mean that you are expressing biblical gratitude. Whenever our gratitude is directed towards anything other than God, we fall short of what the Bible would describe as true thankfulness. Remember the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, who was thankful to God that he was not like one of these sinners. That's not biblical thankfulness. For example, I'm thankful because I didn't get caught speeding. I'm not saying I was. I'm thankful I chose to wear this because people are all giving me compliments. I'm thankful my kid is so well behaved because it makes me look like a good parent. I'm thankful my wife didn't discover where I hid the box of peppermint Oreos. She found them, actually. All of these statements might have been something I could have said, right? But the problem is that there's no acknowledgement of God in these statements. They're all focused on me or something that I want or something that I think is important. Biblical thankfulness, biblical gratitude focuses on what God wants and what God thinks is important. Consider what Scripture says. And again, just scratching the surface, Psalm 50, verse 14 says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving." Psalm 50, verse 23 says, "The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God." Psalm 69, "I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving." Psalm 95, verse 2, "Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." Psalm 100, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." Psalm 106, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Psalm 107:1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Psalm 116, verse 17, "I will offer to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord." Psalm 147, verse 7, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to God on the lyre." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:15, for it is for your sake that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always and for everything to God. Catch the pattern? To God. Biblical thanksgiving is thankfulness to God for whatever's happening. Finding the goodness of God in every moment. Many of us have written lists that we're thankful for, right? And what if we ask the question, why, at the end of each one? When we teach our children to be thankful, do we stop at just being thankful, or do we go further and help them understand to whom we should be thankful and why? It's not enough, however, to be just biblically thankful to understand what that is. We have to abound in it. What does that mean? What does it mean to abound in thanksgiving? Well, first of all, it means that every aspect of your walk with God should be flavored with thanksgiving. It should saturate every aspect of our lives, is gratitude to God. Yesterday, I went through the process of preparing and creating jerky, venison jerky, okay? Praise the Lord. And it was a long process. You had to dehydrate it, right, for a number of hours, and then you put it in a smoker. And Heidi had gone away and come back a few hours after I had begun this and was kind of blown away with the scent that was in the room. I hadn't noticed it really, but she made a comment that our house just smelled like smoked meat. Praise the Lord. She didn't say praise the Lord, by the way. I did. You know, and then you open the door to the smoker, and I said, honey, come out and smell this. This is fantastic. She's like, no, I don't want to smell like smoked meat. I said, I don't know why. Why would you not want to smell like that? It smells great. It's saturating our house. Our house smells like deer jerky right now. If you want to come over and breathe in my house, you're welcome to do so. It's really, really nice for some of us. That's what I'm talking about. That's what our lives should be. Our lives, every aspect of it, the pillows, the couches, the carpet, everything needs to be saturated with thanksgiving to God. Is your prayer life reflect your gratitude to God? Are you thankful for your employment and for every circumstance that you find yourself in? What about your family life? Are you thankful to God, genuinely thankful to God for whatever is happening within your family? For your Bible study, what about your recreational life? Do you take time to thank God during your recreational life, or are you just consuming it as an enjoyment for yourself? What about parenting? Do you see your children? Do you actually see your children as gifts from God? My parents named me Nathaniel. I was born right near Christmas. Nathaniel means gift from God. I always enjoyed it reminding them that I was their gift from God, especially when I wasn't really acting like much of a gift, right, or didn't feel like that. What about in the church body? Are you thankful for this church? Are you thankful for each individual member? Are you thankful for its leadership? Every aspect of our walk with God must be flavored with thanksgiving. Some of you may have taken a chemistry class and understand what a litmus paper is. Litmus paper is used to, you dip it in a liquid and you figure out, okay, based on the color that this litmus paper turns out, you can test it and say, okay, that's what this liquid is, right? Or if you had a pool and you had to test the water in the pool, you get these test strips and it tells you what you need to do to balance the water in the pool. Thankfulness is the litmus test for the believer for spiritual health. So if you want to know how you're doing spiritually with God, how's your walk with the Lord, what is your spiritual temperature, just identify how many aspects of your life are you thankful for. Does it saturate your thinking? To abound in thankfulness means every aspect, first and foremost, is saturated with thankfulness. It also means that my faith is not easily shaken. Look back again in Colossians chapter 2. Paul describes the believer, one who is walking in Christ, as rooted, built up, and established, abounding in thanksgiving. The firmness of faith that Paul describes here comes from recognizing that God can be trusted. A heart that is constantly expressing gratitude to God for all that he is, for all that he does, is the heart that will run to him when met with uncertainty. When you choose to give God thanks for everything, you're regularly reminding yourself that he is the source of truth and insulating yourself from any doubt. So we've all had, you know, a car or something that is no longer really meeting the need, right? And you kind of become unthankful for whatever this thing is. And that displeasure leads us to say, you know what, I need to get a new car. I need to find something different. And that's okay when it comes to material things that you need to replace. That we understand that happens. But the idea here is that a thankful believer is not going to be easily led away from Christ, but a discontented, grumbling, whiny believer, however, will be easy prey for false teachers who are more than willing to offer just what you're missing. Folks, an attitude of thankfulness to God for who he is expresses our trust in his word and who he says he is. And that firms us, that establishes us in the faith, to the extent that when doubts come, and they will, that we are not easily shaken off of that. And a heart of thankfulness will establish our faith. To abound in thanksgiving means to let it saturate our lives. It means it will firm up our faith, but it also means being thankful for things that we do not see as good or that we do not understand. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and just hang on there. This is a little bit harder, right? It's not easy to hear someone say to us, hey, that bad thing or that thing that you don't understand, you need to be thankful for that. That's difficult to hear. Does God really expect us to be thankful for the bad things in life? I was recently watching a video of the first few moments of Marine boot camp. Becoming a U.S. Marine, you have to go to a basic training or boot camp, whatever they call it, and you have to endure a very difficult trial. And these drill sergeants were basically expressing to the recruits that they were to do what they were told and to experience whatever difficulty or pain they may have to experience, and they should do so in a spirit of thankfulness. You need to thank me that I'm putting you through this. And in reality, that's true, but is that how God... Is that what he expects of us? You know, thank you, sir. May I have another? Just enduring the pain without really ever seeing the good in it. Paul doesn't mean that at all. God does not want his children. I'm sorry. God does want his children to abound in thanksgiving. And this does mean that even when the circumstances of life are not what we would expect or understand or want, the believer can still choose to see through that to what God is doing. Look at verse 1 here, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writes, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Okay, on the surface, that seems pretty normal. Like, okay, that's pray for people, be thankful for people. All right, I know there's a couple people I need to work on, but yeah, I can see what Paul's saying. This is good. Yeah, no problem. I can be thankful for people. But consider who he's talking about. Look at verse 2. Paul writes, for kings. Okay, let's not forget. Be thankful. Make thanksgivings for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. What's Paul saying? Be thankful for kings. Now remember the context. The kings and the folks in high positions at this time were persecuting the church. In fact, that persecution was going to ramp up. And it wasn't just limiting their freedom. They were killing Christians at times. And Paul's saying we need to offer thanksgivings for these people. Paul is instructing Timothy's church to be thankful for those leaders, to express thanksgiving to God for them. Is that true about me? do I express thanksgiving to God for the leaders in our country? Even the ones maybe I didn't vote for. What about disappointing family members or church leaders that disappoint you? Are we expressing thanksgiving for these folks? You know, Paul's only really dealing with offering thanksgiving for leaders and rulers and stuff. I understand that this passage is quite specific, but I think we can draw from it a general principle that whatever is happening, whenever life is hard, we are to be thankful. What for? If for nothing else, be thankful for the fact that we serve a sovereign God who is in control, and that when we're disappointed or frustrated by something outside of our control, we can remind ourselves of how good it is that we have a God who is righteous and perfect and who is not only in control but is working everything out according to his plan. God's good is better than what I could imagine is best. And we can and should be thankful for that. Remember Job? Job went through a trial that I think all of us would say is one of the worst, humanly speaking. Lost his family, lost his health, lost his finances. His whole life had been ruined, and even his friends were turning on him. And Job, he struggles through the book of Job. He struggles. There's doubts there, right? He wrestles with these things. But he starts and ends really well. But he starts his thought process. He orients his mind well in verse 21 of chapter 1, the book of Job, where Job says, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that's the attitude. Even though I don't understand what's going on in life, even though it hurts, even though it may not be good, God is good. And we can be grateful that he is in control. So abounding in thanksgiving means to let life be saturated with this attitude, right? To firm our faith in gratitude for God, to be thankful even when life is hard or when I don't understand things. And abounding in thanksgiving also means that you will view your trials as opportunities to praise God. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. This is a passage that might be familiar to many. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." This is a passage where we've heard many times, and maybe we focus in on the instruction not to be anxious, don't be worried. Or maybe we rest and take solace in the idea that when we trust God, the peace of God will rule our hearts and will guard us. But how many times do we kind of focus in on the with thanksgiving? Maybe sometimes we kind of blow right past that. We're to be offering our requests. We're to be making prayer with thanksgiving. Understanding that trials are opportunities to praise God. These are often we focus on what's happening to us, and we lose sight of an opportunity. Right, we see the phrase "in everything," reminding us that thanksgiving should saturate our lives. Trials tempt us to worry and become anxious. Paul's counsel is to pray and let our requests be made with thanksgiving. Turn to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. I saw it here. It was in my Bible during the first service. I'm sure it's in here again. There it is. Twice that's happened. You'd think I'd put a bookmark in there. All right, Jonah chapter 2. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the story of Jonah, Jonah was a prophet of God that disobeyed God, right? God told him, "Speak to Nineveh, call them out on their sin." And Jonah said, "No, I don't like those folks. I'm going the other direction. I'm going to go to a place called Tarshish, far away from God." He gets on a boat. He goes out into the sea. God brings a storm in his sovereignty and brings Jonah to a point of repentance. And Jonah says, "Throw me over and you'll be saved," to the people in the boat. And so they do, and they were. And he gets into the water and he sinks and is swallowed by a fish. And Jonah, that all happens in chapter 1. Chapter 2 is Jonah's prayer as he's thinking, you know, your parents ever said, you sit over there and you think about what you've done. That's what's happening here for Jonah. All right? He's been thrown into the sea, he sank, and he has been swallowed up by a fish. And I just want to read this. Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the root of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. Listen to verse 9. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Here's Jonah in the midst of a trial that he brought upon himself. Okay, just to be fair, he brought this trial upon himself. But Jonah is recognizing, you know what? I am thankful for what you have done, God. You have allowed me to be thrown into the sea. And you know what's interesting here? The fish didn't just catch him off the surface. Okay, this was a bottom feeder fish. All right, because you see that you can kind of watch the progression as Jonah sank, right? The deep kind of closed in over him, weeds around his head. He's at the foot of the mountains. He's all the way down. The darkness kind of was pressing in, and then the Lord saved him. And Jonah recognizes that a heart of thankfulness is the only right response, even in the midst of a trial. Don't forget, he's still in the fish. God didn't give him like a, you know, an outline of what was about to happen. He's just in a fish. He's been eaten. Thank you, Lord, for being eaten by a fish. It's unusual. But I think it's a good example for us that while we find ourselves in a trial, whether we've brought it upon ourselves or not, we can be thankful for a God who doesn't just let us go. We can be thankful for the grace of God in our lives, even when that's his disciplining hand. To abound in thanksgiving also means that, To abound in thanksgiving means this: you will view your material things as gifts from God and opportunities to be a blessing to others. Finally, James chapter 1, verse 17, describes God as the giver of all good things. All good gifts come down from our Heavenly Father. I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're directed to think on the goodness of God, the idea that God is the giver of gifts. But we see in 2 Corinthians that God gives us these material blessings for one purpose, to produce thanksgiving in others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is commending the church at Corinth for a gift that they gave. And early in the chapter, he notes that, hey, we sent people ahead just so that everyone would understand this was a willing gift that you gave. This was out of a heart of generosity. And he notes the idea of sowing and reaping. Verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, like getting your arm twisted, you know. No, but for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Look at verse 11. Paul continues to talk about how God will supply their needs. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. God is the giver of good gifts so that you can be generous, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also is overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. You see what would happen there? God gave gifts to the Corinthian church, a more wealthy church than Jerusalem. And they took those gifts and recognized, you know what? God gave us these things. We can give also. God was generous to me. I can be generous to others. And what happened? It produced thanksgiving. And Paul reminds them, hey, yes, you met their needs, but you know what was more important? Thanksgiving is abounding right now. Thankful hearts lead to generous gifts, which lead to thankful hearts. You see the circle? To abound in thanksgiving means that I will recognize that everything I have is not for me. It's an opportunity to be used for God. To recognize, wow, God, you are so good to me. You have given me fill in the blank. If I have one thing, God has given it to me. And it's to be used for his glory. And what's going to happen? It will produce more thankfulness. As we are generous with each other and with our community, it will produce more thankfulness. How generous are you? Do you give with a cheerful heart? People who are thankful to God for the blessings he provides will not find it difficult to part with some of it to be a blessing to others, which will generate more thanksgiving. Finally, there's good news for the ungrateful. So what are you talking about? Luke chapter 6, there's a phrase that talks about the Most High. The Most High is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. What does that mean? Well, friend, if you do not understand what it fully means to have your sin forgiven, then you have no idea what true gratitude really feels like. Because when we as believers understand that our sin has separated us from a holy, righteous God, and the more we think about it, the more we realize everything I do is just tainted with sin, and there's nothing actually that I can do to earn God's favor. I've separated myself from him because of my sin, and God fixed it. Thank you, Lord. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. He lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross, taking for us the penalty, the wrath of God on our sins, setting us free from the guilt of that. And if you haven't experienced that, then you don't know what Thanksgiving's all about. Let me encourage you, if that's you, if you have not yet trusted in Jesus Christ, do so. Understand that you're a sinner, but there is hope in the gospel. And there's good news for the ungrateful, because as the Bible says, those who are not with God are unthankful. In their hearts of sin, they are consuming whatever pleasures they may have for themselves. They're not grateful to God, the giver of those gifts. The believer is one who recognizes God's gift of salvation. How long, practically speaking? Just some things to think about. How long can you, or how often do you pray in thankfulness alone? Just start praying and only thank God. Try that. That's a good little practical exercise to try this week to really test where your heart is. It's amazing. I've tried it, and for those of us who are in our weakness, in our humanity, we often are consumed with things that we need or want. And we make a lot of requests during our prayer, but rarely do we find ourselves just thanking God for all that he is and all that he's done. Try that. Each day, maybe this week, write down how God was kind to you. In other words, God in his kindness did this or allowed this or showed me this or protected me from this. And I think Jeremy led us well earlier by pointing us to the fact that maybe we should be more thankful for the trials in our lives, because they generate in us a dependency on God's word. They draw us closer to him. I'm going to close by reading Psalm 118. I'd like you to turn there if you can. It's not in your YouVersion, because this was a late edition. Psalm 118. There's a copy of Scripture in the pew if you need one. I'd like you to read along with me. And I love that the phrase that you will see in this chapter over and over is right here on our wall. David is writing this psalm, and think about, look for in this psalm how in every aspect of life there is thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me. He set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Just pause there. Do you see the thankfulness even when our poor choices bring upon us the consequences of sin? Be thankful for that. Verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it and be glad. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. It is he who has made light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords upon the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let's read this together. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have no other recourse but to be thankful. You alone are the reason that we are alive.